Amen.
Amen.
Very happy to be with you tonight.
Amen.
And we greet you in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It's so good to be here.
Amen.
We have been away a few years.
Yes.
7 years to be exact since we were here
Amen.
In Lusaka. But 7 years is just numbers. We still remember each other. And we had this disease, COVID, that kind of stopped everything from traveling for a while. And some people passed away because of it. But the Lord has helped us to stay alive. I'm very happy that we are still pressing on for the Lord. So God bless you all for praying for us, helping us on the journey. And like my brother said, we just came from Zimbabwe and had some good meetings. A lot of meetings. Yeah. First, we were in Concession, and then we went to Brother James' church, what do you call the place?
Chitungwisa.
Huh? Chitungwisa. Hey, my tongue is Norwegian. I can say a lot of Norwegian words that you cannot. But when we get to Africa, my tongue needs a different twist. But I'm glad that we know English. And I asked Brother Piri if he understood the Zimbabwean people when they were speaking Chona. And he said, I don't understand anything. So you're not alone, brother. Now, when we come to Africa, we wouldn't be able to understand the tribal languages, but God has given us a communion language that we can reach each other in English.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Well, brothers and sisters, you can all sit down and enjoy the night. When we had the meetings in Brother James' church, the first night, you were not there. I don't know, did they record it, right?
Yes.
Yeah. But is it out there?
Yes.
Is it out there? Okay, good, wonderful. Because then you can check if I'm saying it right. Because on my mind, I have had this thought for months and months. And it stays with me. And it don't want to leave. So therefore, I will bless you with the word of God. And we will look at a certain title. We have been talking about the light, daylight, an ability to stay in the light. And I believe it is, there's so much to it. And we are coming into a season of time where I believe the Lord will move among his people more and more. And therefore, when you get into the Spirit and also into the fulfillment of things, because God is going to fulfill Scripture, and you are part of God's fulfillment, whether you like it or not. Yeah.
Amen.
This afternoon, Brother Peary and I, we were having a talk over the podcast that you are producing here in Lusaka. And it was he wanted me to tell in more detail about the starting of my mission. How did I come to the Lord? And of course, I'm not going to repeat that part because that is on your podcast. Yeah. But of course, my life is colored by what I saw in the beginning. And I seem to always want to go back to the start of things. Because I was not a believer. I did not grow up with a Christian family. Even in Norway, everybody calls themselves Christian. But it's not because they are believers. It is just a public way of expression. Because Martin Luther, back in Germany, he was preaching a gospel against the Catholic Church. I don't think that he actually spoke against the Catholic Church, but he spoke the Word of God according to the revelation that he felt in his heart. And it happened to be against the Catholic Church way or standard, how to see things. And then they started a war against Martin Luther. They wanted his life. They wanted to kill him. So he became an outlaw, a refugee in his own country. So, if I go 1,000 years back in time, there was another man called Olav. And he was a king in Norway in around 1030 AD. And he got converted into Catholicism. Well, there was no Lutherans in 1030 AD because Martin Luther was born in around 1500. So this is 500 years before Martin Luther. So everyone that came to the Lord, they were either Catholics or they were retaliating against the Catholic Church. And that happened all the time. Because the Catholic Church killed about 68 million people that were different in thoughts. They just ruled them with a rod of iron. And they persecuted them, tortured them, until they either gave themselves over to the Catholic Church or they were killed off. So that was that time. But this king in Norway, he wanted to make Norway a Christian nation. So he started in the south of our country and evangelized with a very simple gospel. Be baptized or be beheaded. That was a very simple gospel. But then he finally came up to the area that I am living in now, in Verdal, Norway. And the farmers of that society, they didn't like his message. So therefore they say, let's get rid of that king. We will fight him. So they put up a war against the king, and then they were able to kill him. And that stopped the furtherness of the Catholic Church in Norway completely. And everything died out for the next 400 or 500 years. And it wasn't till Martin Luther came on the scene and started preaching a different gospel, justification by the grace of God. That's the Norwegian liked that better. Yeah. Not being baptized or be beheaded. Yeah. But you see, tradition and religion always have a tendency to stay, even if someone are killed. So this Olav, he, after he died, he became very popular. They claim that Olav was a saint, but he was killed by the Verdal people. Now they have set up a play in Verdal. So every July on the 28th or 29th, they have a play where Olav is killed again and again and again and again. Every year they kill that man. Yeah. They want to be reminded. There was one that tried to bring Christianity into Norway. But they could have said he tried to bring Catholicism into Norway. But some people, they don't know the difference. And when we are speaking like we are doing tonight, many people don't even know the difference of what we're talking about now. When we come to the text of our Bible reading, I want to go to John chapter 11. And I want to put a text here that is written in the Bible, but it is a message for us. Work while it is day. Right? Outside your house, no, here, outside the church. You have to watch it when you walk outside, because it's dark. When we were in Zimbabwe, Brother James's church, after 7 o'clock, it was very dark, and you had to walk from his home and to the church. And if you didn't have a light, you would have trouble finding your way. Of course, I could see the church up there, but on the road there was a lot of stones. You could stumble and fall any time. All right, and Jesus, when he was walking, he told the people, there is something called daylight, even when it is pitch dark outside in the natural. And that's what I want to deal on a little. And if you know all about what I'm saying tonight, then God bless you. We are on the same page. But let me read from verse 1. John 11. And it says here, now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, of the village of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was that Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. The sisters therefore sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. I'll just stop there for a moment. We are reading a story, and of course it's a very famous story. It is in the last part of Jesus' ministry, almost the last week of his ministry altogether, because a week later he was brought on Calvary and was killed. So here, and Jesus knew, Brother Andrew Peary was speaking about footprints, and he took the journey when Jesus was dealing with the people up in the northern part of Galilee. But there came a time in Luke chapter 9 and 10 where Jesus started facing Jerusalem. So here is a season of time where Jesus' ministry is actually changing a lot. Because now, from that chapter and up till chapter 24 in Luke, Jesus is now steadfastly walking towards crucifixion. So that was his aim. That was the purpose. And Jesus was actually walking in daylight. Even towards Calvary, he walked in daylight. Because daylight in spiritual understanding is when I read the Bible, is walking according to the purpose that God has. So you and I, we can walk in the light every day of our life and fulfill the purpose that God has for us. And remember, daylight doesn't always mean victorious life when it comes to healing, when it comes to solutions, because Jesus Christ's solution was to end his life on Calvary. Yeah. And people would normally say that's the darkest hour that has ever been. But Jesus Christ, the last word he said on Calvary is, it is completed. It is fulfilled. Father, I give my spirit over in your hands. And he gave up the ghost. Huh. Is that walking in light? Of course it is. As long as you are doing the will of God. All right. So early, I'll just put a little story to this. This is a story of Lazarus. He turned sick. And of course, God knows all about it. He knows way before you're dying when you're going to die. That's why I use the scripture in Psalm 139. To me, that is a very specific little scripture that I like to, for everyone to understand in a proper way. If you take Psalm 139 and you can read there from verse 13. Let's see here. Here the Bible says, "For you didst form my inward parts." Well, he has formed you, shaped you. I think that if we open up our chest, we all look the same. Ah. Our skin might have a different color, but inside, we are exactly the same. Kidney, heart, pancreas, whatever you have, intestines, they look exactly the same. Inward parts. And God made us that way. And then it says, "Thou didst cover me in my mother's womb." All right. Remember, your existence in the eyes of God is actually before the foundation of the world. Before there was a foundation of the world, according to Ephesians chapter 1, we are created in Christ before the foundation of the world. So actually, you and I and Jesus the Christ are formed in the mind of God, approximately at the same time. So you are actually, in the eyes of God, very old. If you look at it from your standpoint, think about it. Way before creation, God wanted a family. And then, when he saw you and me, billions and billions of people, And of course, he only created one person that started it. And then he took a rib out of that person to create the female gender so that the multiplication of the people could come into existence. But way back in time, so when you read here in Psalm 139, that you covered me in my mother's womb, that is much, much, much later. And for you, that was back in the 70s, 1980s, 1990s. To me, it was back in 1949. Then I was in my mother's womb. But I was foreseen way before the foundation of the world. Right? So think about it, how important you are. Created in the mind of God and destined for eternity if you stay with the Word of God. Okay? And in verse 14, I will give thanks unto thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Right? Remember, every minute, every second of your mortal life, God has foreseen it and ordained it and let it pass through. Remember, if you make an item, a machinery, then the machine is first put out on a blueprint, and they make it in their mind first. Then they find the material that is useful for the machinery, and they start forming it because it will have a purpose. And when the product is fully made, then they are testing it to see if it will hold on. Right? Aren't you glad you have a car that will last a little longer? You buy a new car and it's gone by one day. That's not good at all. But you can have a car that lasts 15 to 20 years. And you put your trust in it. Because when you pass 80 kilometers an hour and you get up to a 100, some people 120, maybe even faster, then you must have some faith that what you're doing will get you to the destination. You don't count on it to break down. You count on it to hold on. You put trust in it, right? So therefore, items, they are formed in the mind of the personality, put on the table, finding material, building it, testing it, and put it out on the market so that it can be useful for the human being. Hey, all of that God did before the foundation of the world. He saw our life. And also, of course, he knew and he saw the devil, because he wants to ruin your life. He wants you to deny your faith so that you can't complete what the Lord has in mind for you. But God also knew that. So therefore, he puts an alarming system in your life. Remember, when God spoke to Adam, and Adam and Eve knew the fault that they could end up in, they knew all about that. So when they grasped the substance of the tree of knowledge, they knew the danger they put themselves in. They knew it. So therefore, when they finally had done and disobeyed God, and they heard the Lord was coming in the Garden of Eden. How do you think the Spirit of God is moving in the Garden of Eden? Right? Footprints? Hey, wind? I can tell you the presence of God was there. And when Adam understood the presence of God was right there in their midst, they ran to hide. Well knowing there's no way that you can hide from God. Because they said, we ate of the tree of life, tree of knowledge. And now the consequences of it. So that's the way mankind ended. And we got mortality. Hey, God knew that before the foundation of the world. But he also had a plan of redemption so that we could get back with God again through the works of the Lord Jesus Christ. But when I read the scriptures, and it says in verse 14, I will give thanks unto thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. My, you made with a wonderful, fearful purpose. And God's going to make sure that every soul that sets or puts in their mind they want to serve the Lord, they're going to hear him. And they're going to be helped. All right? And he says there, wonderful are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Verse 15 is important. My frame was not hidden from thee. Sometimes you call your body a frame, right? You have a skull, you have 200 bones, or more or less. That's the frame of the building that you are. You start out as a tiny little embryo, and then you end up like a big man or woman that everybody can see. But my frame was not hidden from thee when I was made in secret. Well, remember, it come a day where the wife will say, husband, you know what happened? I'm pregnant. What? Pregnant? Yeah, it's a miracle. Hey, every little child, every little start of pregnancy is a miracle. And God makes sure that the sperm and the egg is fertilized and ready and starts growing. So here the Bible says, and remember, I'm not talking about a news magazine. I'm talking about the scriptures that the Lord is giving us. My frame was not hidden from me when I was made in secret. And remember, there is a spiritual part. You were made in secret before the foundation of the world. But your natural being was not before the foundation of the world. That was when time was to be fulfilled for your visible existence. All right? And it says that, and curiously wrought in the lowest part of the earth. And remember, they didn't have to take a spade to dig up a hole in the ground. It says the lowest part of the earth. But it is a symbolic language. And it means it is the pregnancy of a woman. That is what it really tells, right? And then, verse 16. Thine eyes did see my unformed substance. Hey, remember, God is watching over every little speck that is going to be a child. Remember, foreseen before the foundation of the world. And when that actually happens, when Brother Stroman's going to be made, or you can put your name there, or you're going to be made, God is watching. And he's making sure that everything is according to plan. I remember home in Verdal, I saw my own daughter standing in front for prayer. And there was another sister standing there also praying, seeking the Lord. And while I was standing there, I saw a pregnancy. I know that my daughter always wanted a child. She's been married for 26-27 years, never had a child. And I wondered, is it her or the other one? Yeah. But I saw a little baby in the mother's womb. So I say, I'm not going to fool myself. I'm not going to prophesy or say anything. I'll just notice what I see. And then we will see as time goes, because a pregnancy will start to show. And it showed to be the other sister. Yeah. And that sister was pregnant. But when she went for for control and checkup, the doctors told that the child, the little child or the embryo, had a sickness. And it's much better that you take abortion, because that sickness is so severe that it will never have a decent, normal, natural life. But the sister, and I think that was the reason that I saw it. Hey, you know people have Down syndrome, right? And some people say they are worthless. Why do you even, if they know that, you better take an abortion. But that sister, she had been working so long to have a child. And after several years, she decided, if I can't have a child, I'll just adopt one. So she adopted two children that became her children now, by adoption. And then here, now she's pregnant. So she'll have her third child. Of course, the child is already born, is growing, and it has the Down syndrome. But you cannot control these things. And remember, you might say, let us have faith to change the situation. Hey, that is the part where the human beings are putting pressure on each other. Right? Let's do this. Let's have faith. It's really about that. My title, Let's Walk in the Daylight. I hope that you catch the picture. All right, but let me finish here in this little scripture. Because it says here, thine eyes did see my unformed substance. So I saw a sister that were pregnant. And it was not a question about what is wrong with the child at that state. because nobody knew. She just started feeling a strange feeling, and when she went for a checkup, she was pregnant. Yeah. Unformed. Well, you know, if you see a little speck in a mother's womb, only about 2-3 weeks old, there's not much form. You don't see arms and legs and stuff like that. But as the little embryo grows, it will have a perfect feature and come out like a baby. All right? So here, as it is written, even the days, yeah, thine eyes did see my unformed substance. And then the next thing, and in thy book, they were all written. So the Lord, in a figuratively way, has a book. How do you think that book looks? You have a Bible on your lap, and it has 1,500 pages. God's book. There is a, in the book of Revelation, there is a scroll, and it is sealed with 7 seals. The scroll in the Bible, we don't see a book in our modern version. We see it more like a scroll, right? But the word book is okay. And it says, and in thy book they were all written, even the days that were ordained for me. So that means even before the child is born, all the days that it is going to live is foreordained. Yeah. Remember David, the king of Israel? He had an affair with Bathsheba, and she ended up being pregnant. And then when the pregnancy was over and she gave birth, she had a son. But the prophet of the Lord came and spoke to David, and he said, because of what you did, this child will not live up. I will take it. And David went into fasting and prayer. And he prayed for days, because he hoped that the Lord would change his mind. Right? So he was laying flat on the floor, and everyone that was serving the king was walking silently on socks, because they didn't want to disturb him. What's going to happen if we disturb him? When he's in such fasting, in concern for the little baby that is just born. But after a few days, the baby did not live up. It passed away. The Lord took it. You might say, what happens when a little baby haven't been able to do anything right or wrong? What happens to a baby? Hey, don't worry about it. God knows exactly what he's doing. And remember, he has not forgotten anyone. How many pregnancies are cut short in our day? Just in America, I hope that my numbers are not too wrong, about 15 million people are killed in abortion every year. Did God foresee that? Of course he did. What's going to happen to them that never made it alive? Hey, leave that in the hands of the Lord. You cannot control that anyway. Are you going to say, I don't want to believe, be a believer, because there's so many babies killed before they even are born? Hey, leave that in the hands of the Lord. Okay? So here, in thy book they were all written, even the days that were ordained for me. And the last part of the verse says, when as yet there was none of them. So that means my days are numbered. Hey, Brother Branham was killed in a car accident, 56 years old. And when you read about many of the evangelists and the Bible believers that had an impact on the religious world, they died at an early age. Spurgeon and others, they were in their 40s. John the Baptist was early 30s. Jesus Christ was 33 and a half, according to history. Yeah. So the best man that God ever had died at an early stage. So remember, to live long doesn't mean that you are better than others. Sometimes the best is taken early. And I hope that you are not saying now, Lord, take me early. Right? That's not why I'm saying it. Right? Because you just tell the Lord, said, Lord, fill my days with the purpose that you saw before the foundation of the world. Help me, Lord, to live it as a shining light so that I can be that little beacon that you want to show forth in the time you're living. All right? So I'm not saying this for you to start to worry. I say this for you to start to have comfort. God is in full control. 2 years ago, hey, I always desired to work for the Lord. And whether I'm sick or healthy, I'll just keep pressing on. When I was 50 years old, I went to the doctor because my feet were hurting. So therefore, I said to the doctor, can you check my feet? And the doctor said, well, I'll do a little more than that. I'm going to check your body completely. So he took a test, blood test and stuff. And he said, you know, you are diabetic. You have so high numbers, diabetic, that you are dangerously living almost to the edge of death. I said, my Lord, I didn't even know I was sick. I just had some feet that was hurting. And he put me in the hospital. And when the people heard I was in the hospital, they thought I was dying. Oh, Brother Stroman is gone. But I wasn't gone. I was just in for a check. Yeah. And they started to monitor me to help me out so that I could function with whatever disease I had. So I've been using insulin for the last 27 years. Yeah. Never really had any problem. Of course, I have to sting myself with a needle, but that's a very small problem when I see people in wheelchairs, cannot move, people with other sicknesses that are much harder, that I feel is much harder than what I got. All right? And you might say, well, but Brother Stroman, can't you have faith? faith to be to believe, right? If you're going to serve the Lord, why should you be sick? Okay. You have the prophet for this age, William Branham. You know his life. He had a stomach problem most of his life. And he went to the doctor, and the doctor was examining him. They probably went in with a tube or stuff. And he said, you know that your stomach looks like an old leather bag, all shrinked up. He said, it doesn't look nice at all. My, how can you survive with what you got? He said, well, I just live for the Lord the best way I know to. And then he was asking the Lord, said, Lord, can you take this away from me? You know what the Lord said? It was later in life. And he said, I'm going to tell you something. That problem you got is only 6 inches long. What is that for an answer for a man that wants to be healed? 6 inches long. And he was figuring, what does that mean? He couldn't figure it out at first. But then later on, he started thinking, my, I have had 5 different attacks that had lasted me for some time. He said, could that mean that it is 5 times? And then there is one more to come. And you know, in November 1965, he had the last 6th attack. You can check it in Brother Branham's books. And he is telling, now I understand why the angel said it is only 6 inches. And you know, God gave him a dream. And he was close to a tree. And he was surprised and he saw a squirrel. And the squirrel jumped right on him. And he was so shocked that he had his mouth open. And the squirrel jumped in his mouth and went down his intestines. And the angel of the Lord said, remember, it is only 6 inches long. That was the squirrel. But it symbolized that that was the last attack he would have, the 6th one. And you know how long he lived after November 1965? He lived another 3 weeks, 4 weeks. And he was killed in a car accident. And I remember he said in his sermons, now I can expect to be healed. Hey, that is a man that prayed for thousands and thousands of people and they got healed. But he could not heal himself. Remember, healing comes by inspiration. Right? You say, oh, don't you have faith? Hey, faith to be healed? What's wrong about you? You're a believer. Well, are you a believer? You actually mean that you can overrule the leading of the Spirit of God? Or you say, oh, am I going to accept my condition? Hey, I will say, Lord, I'm ready to be healed anytime. Oh yeah, I don't want to have diabetes, but I can't change it. Or you say, yeah, but just have faith. What is faith? Faith is, remember what the angel said to Brother Branham? It is 6 inches long. 6 attacks. And that means he had that disease for many, many years. But the 6th one came 4 weeks before he passed away. I hope you're catching what I'm saying. Right? And all my days, I'll say hallelujah. Lord, all my days are ordained. Whatever sickness, whatever comes upon my life, I cannot go until I have fulfilled the purpose God had for me. Because he saw that before the foundation of the world. Just put your trust in him. All right? Hey, we haven't forgot about John chapter 11. Here, early in the morning, you go back to the story of Lazarus. Jesus had a tendency or a practice that in the morning he left his sleeping brothers and went out praying. And he prayed and waited on the Lord. And then that morning, the Spirit of the Father came down and spoke to him. And remember, this was a habit. Jesus had it all the time. He went aside praying, seeking God, because he wanted to know the mission of the day. And then, this morning, the Father come and he speaks to his only begotten Son. And he said, today, there's coming a little team of people from Martha and Mary and Lazarus. And they're going to tell that Lazarus is sick. But I can tell you now, this sickness is not unto death. This sickness is to show the purpose and the mission that you have as the Messiah. You know, you cannot find that word and phrase that I told you right now in the scriptures. You can't. It's hidden. But Jesus had a secret communication with the eternal spirit, and he got a message. They're coming, speaking about Lazarus. And of course, the Spirit of the Lord will say, and Lazarus is going to die. But I don't want you to rush up there too early. You're going to stay in town for another 2 days. And then you can go up. Do you think I'm silly? You read the scriptures now. Right? In verse 3. John chapter 11 verse 3. The sisters therefore sent unto him saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Verse 4. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified thereby. Are we going to take a test? Shall we take it by faith? Some of you in church getting sick, and it's very serious. Then you say, come on, let's take it by faith. Let's make sure that this is not going to happen. Hey, that is the denominational way of thinking. Because they want to prove that they are something. You know, we are nothing. And if we don't stay nothing, we will never be able to serve the Lord. We can only serve Him when we hear messages, and then we'll say, Lord, our precious brother or sister are sick. What do you have for us? What shall we do, Lord? Hey, pray, yes, do that. By all means, keep praying. But you cannot change anything. That is why I love the ministry of Brother Branham. In the first part of his ministry, there was a brother in the Lord, a member of his church. He was sick and he was dying of his sickness. He was in the hospital and there were the nurses was around him to try to comfort him the best way possible because his days are gone. It's over for him. Because the doctors had examined and said, there's nothing we can do. So let him die. Brother Branham come visiting the brother, talking to him, and the brother says to Brother Branham, Brother Branham, what do you think about me? Am I going to live or die? Do you have anything from the Lord? You know what Brother Branham said? Honestly, he said, Brother, I don't know. The Lord has not told me anything about it. But I'll be praying for you. And he prayed for him right there. But he couldn't say and announce, now you're healed. He just prayed for him. And then he left and went on his work to other places and prayed for other people that were miraculously healed. Then, one day, not very far, long after, the angel of the Lord came to him and spoke and he said, do you remember brother so-and-so in the hospital? And he was asking about his life. And you didn't know because we never told you. But now I can tell you, go back to the hospital, pray for him, he's gonna live. Hallelujah. So the brother, so excited, and he went and took another brother with him, one of the members of the church, and they went together to the hospital. And here was this brother, almost exhausted to death. And he walks into the hospital room and he said, brother, the Lord has come and he has spoken to me. And he told me, you're gonna live, brother, in the name of Jesus Christ. And the brother, he quickened, jumped out of the bed and started shouting and dancing a little. He was very feeble, right? I don't say that he danced like a 20-year-old. And the nurses, they heard the racket and the noise in the room. So they came rushing. What is it going on? They thought the man was dying, you know. And when they saw the brother on the floor, they said, they called on the doctors. And they came out of the, and said, oh, Mr. Branham, get out of here. Remember, the man is dying. So, they pushed Brother Branham out and the other brother. And they walked down the stairs from the hospital. And Brother Branham said, let's just stand here for a little while. Because I had a vision. He's coming walking out. He'll have a hat on and he's going to have a suit on. And he told the colors of the suit, just wait. So after about 30 minutes, here the brother's coming out. He's on his way home. The Lord has healed him. Brothers and sisters, what is faith? Right? Remember, we put some images and ideas into our dumb skull. And think we know about healing. Hey, God can heal anyone in an instant. He holds the sun, the universe, in perfect order. He holds everything. Every life that breathed, every insect, billions and billions and billions of insects, they're right there under his mighty arm and spirit. And you say, he can't heal? Of course he can. But remember, he has a great plan. Remember, you and I, of course we're in Lusaka for a few days and months and years, whatever. But you are destined for eternity.
Amen. Yeah.
You're not going to just sit around here and say, oh, then I'm going to die. Hey, death is no problem. Remember, everyone want to go to heaven. If I see your hand, anyone want to go to heaven? Right? Right? But then if I say, now? Right? Not yet. Right? Everyone want to go to heaven. But remember, in God's timing. Because he saw your unformed substance. And when you started being formed in mother's womb, the clock was started ticking. And he knew the breath, the heartbeat, the numbers of hair. I've lost almost everything now. But he knew the numbers of your hair. Everything. He knows everything about us. So therefore, then we can put our trust in it. If the doctors say you have 3 months left to live, well, that's what the doctors say. Of course, you have to take some precaution. Naturally, life is over. Unless the Lord has another plan. I think I started out about 2 years ago. I mentioned that. It kind of rings back in my ear here. 2 years ago, I went to Australia. And I said and of course, this with my feet, that was 27 years ago. They told me I had diabetes. But here, in Australia, I went to a doctor. And I said, I think I have some allergies because I'm losing my breath when I climb hills. And the doctor said, I'll put an instrument on you and we'll check you out. I'm going to check your heart. I said, okay, you can do that. My heart is okay. But when the diagram came up, he said, you have a heart attack, sir. I said, no. I don't have. I never had trouble with my heart. Well, my diagram says you are having severe trouble. You cannot go back to Norway. You'll never get back to Norway alive. That was some message to get. Preaching the gospel in Australia. Right? I don't have time to die. I'm going to preach the gospel, you know. And she said, if you don't go to the hospital right now, I'm going to order an ambulance and send you there. So the party that we stayed with, they promised we'll bring Brother Stroman to the hospital because he is dying. Everybody got nervous. Right? I have Grace with me. And they tell her, your husband is, times is out. That's not nice to tell your wife. So I got to the hospital. They signed me in. And yes, you have heart attack. very clearly, we're going to check you out. And they went in with some instruments, you know, to check. And they say, you have total blockages. We find 4 blockages. And they're 80 and 90% blockage. It's amazing that you're still alive. Hey, I never felt any of it. And I didn't get scared. That was kind of special. When they tell you life is over, you should get a little scared, right? Yeah. And they put me 2 weeks in the hospital and examined everything about me. And then they said, we're going to take an operation on you. We're going to give you 4 bypasses. And you have a valve that doesn't work. And we're going to change that one too. I said, my Lord, is it that bad? Yes, they said. Unless we do that, you'll never get back to Norway alive. My, that was a second message. So I let myself undergo the knife. And they took open heart surgery, changed, and gave me 4 bypasses and a valve. And after the surgery, probably the same day, later at night, I came back. And I had tubes. It was even harder. I couldn't talk. I could breathe. You say, Brother Stroman, don't you have faith to be healed? Hey, I must say it like this. I have faith for anything that the Lord tells me. Right? What the doctors say? Of course, they go by the natural circumstances. They cannot see that I would make it alive. And they were probably right about it. But here, they're curing me. Giving me, so now I have 4 bypasses. I still function pretty good. Yeah. And I made it back to Norway. But I could not go back after the surgery. I had to wait 4 more weeks. The doctor said, we're not putting you on an airplane till after 4 weeks. We want to check you out and make sure everything works fine. So then after 4 weeks, I got in the airplane, flew back to Norway, and I'm still alive. Hey, I'm so thankful. But remember, I don't go around and I tell, hey, have faith in the Lord. Hey, I always have faith in the Lord. I just ask Him, lead me on. Because I read Psalm 139. And I say, it is not the doctor who says your days are numbered. It is God Almighty. And if He wants me to live till I'm 100 years old, well, then so be it. But I will use every day of my life to serve Him. Yeah. Remember, you have another guy back some years ago called David Livingstone. Right? He came from England, got married to a South African girl. They moved to Botswana. And they got 6 kids. And there around Garbridge, that city, Gaborone. There is a city called Gaborone in Botswana. Yeah, okay. So I'm right then. We went there. And we saw the little place that David Livingstone had his mission work. And you know, the only thing we saw was ruins. No building. Just markers after stones where building have been. And I noticed to the side, Here I saw six stones. David Livingstone had six children. They all died in Gaborone. Malaria. He had a wife, a bigger stone. The wife was laying there, died of malaria. That was a missionary serving the Lord. He was pretty famous. He got a name. Yeah. But later on, he moved up into Zambia, to the place you call Livingstone today. In that area, and he worked as a missionary till he died of malaria. So his whole family died of malaria and himself. And when he died, if I recall it right, the people in England wanted him back so they could bury him. And then he said, well, you can take my body, but leave my heart here. So they cut out his heart after he died, and they buried his heart in Zambia. Because he felt, this is my home. Hey, what a missionary. You see, what a believer. He didn't even get healed. Hey, brothers and sisters, he was healthy enough to fulfill his course. Yeah. Remember, if you end up sitting in a wheelchair, is life over? Of course not. Remember the president of the United States? Roosevelt? Franklin Roosevelt? He was in a wheelchair as a president. You say, you cannot function in a wheelchair. Yes, you can. You still got a head and a heart and a mouth. You still got a mind. Don't put your mind only on sickness and problems and diseases. Put your mind on the work that you're called to do. I have another story. I don't know how many stories I can tell. But in Norway, there was a Christian man. And he was a chimney man. And you know, in the winter time in Norway, we have lots of snow. And he was on the top of a roof on a four-story building. And he slid. And he fell down four floors down, fell on the floor outside in the yard and almost killed himself. He had so many broken bones that the doctor said, there's no way we can put all those bones together. Just let him be in bed and let him die, because this man cannot survive. But he was a believer. And in the sick bed, with all the broken bones that he had, the Lord spoke to him. And you know what the Lord said? I am calling you to the mission field. The brother said, look at me, Lord. I am crippled. Every bone is broken in my body. How can I serve you? But the Lord didn't speak back. He said, I'm calling you to preach the word of God. So he's laying there in the sick bed. And then there is another brother coming visiting him. And he tells the brother, brother, I heard the voice of the Lord. You know what he said to me? Go preach the message. And the brother said, oh, brother, you need help. Hey, if you have the calling to preach, I'll help you. Yeah, but look at my body. Oh, no problem. I'll build a chariot so that we can carry you around. And he built a two-wheeled chariot, handheld, And after he got out of the hospital, to put this short, right, he stayed in the hospital for some time. And the doctors, when they found out that this man is not dying, he's dying to preach. So therefore, they tried to plaster him up the best way they could. But the brother was broken. And the brother took him gently and laid him upon the chariot. And then he walked the streets. And when the brother said, "Stop here, let me preach the word of God," then he stopped and he lifted the chariot up so that he was angled, feet down, head up, and he was standing there preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. To the people, because the Lord said, "I want you to preach the word of God." And you said, "But I need healing first," right? That was not the question. And you know how long he did that? The two of them traveled around in Norway for 12 years. 12 years. And the brother, he had pain, all kinds of problems, but he was called to preach. So, brothers, sisters, if you feel that you have a backache, or a leg that isn't working, or an arm that is out of joints, or you're down and you say, "Oh, I can't even serve the Lord anymore," I'll say, shame on you.
Amen.
Let the Lord do His work.
Amen.
And if He wants to heal you, He can heal you instantly. Amen. In a twinkle. No problem with Him. He holds the universe. He can hold you together also. And then, after 12 years, they were going to a city called Stavanger in the southeast of Norway. And they went to a regular service. They rented a hall because the brother was not really well accepted in the denominational church world. Because people, they have tendency, if they don't see that you follow their orders and rules, they don't ever invite you. But the man was drawing people, because here is the man in a wheelchair preaching the gospel, praying for the sick. Here is a sick man praying for the sick. Yeah. And in one particular service, the man, the brother, had put the wheelchair or the wagon, tilted it, so now the brother was hanging there by the ropes and was ready to preach the word. And he heard a voice. It was the Lord speaking. And the Lord said, "Now you can untie yourself. You are healed." And the brother, he called on the other one and said, "Brother, can you come here and help me?" He said, yeah. "What do you need?" He said, "Untie me." "Are you crazy? You'll collapse." "No, the Lord spoke to me and said, I'm going to walk." He said, "Oh, my Lord," he said. And he took the ropes off him. And then he walked out, and he stood there like any normal person. And the congregation was in shock. Half of them ran out of the line because they came just to see for the fun of it. They want to make a mockery of the man preaching healing. Still hanging there like this, right? But now, they took off. And the believers were rejoicing in that.
Amen.
Hey, that story is so remarkable. I said, "That's my God." Oh, 12 years?
That's a shameful thing. God should have done it the first day. You know, sometimes your infirmities with your positive attitude can do more for people than what you can do in a healed condition. Do you catch what I'm saying now?
Yes.
I don't want any one of you to stay sick. But I want you to be attentive to the voice of the Lord. Make sure that what you're doing is what God wants you to do.
Yeah, this is for real. So here, when the Lord is speaking like he does, and he comes, and the messengers come to ask for Jesus, can you hurry to come to Bethany? Lazarus is sick. Then Jesus is looking at his disciples, and he says, this sickness is not unto death. I said, what? How does he know? He's been out there in the morning talking with his father and got the message. He's going to live. But the disciples, hey, they were not there on the mountain. They didn't hear the voice of God. They only heard the voice of Jesus Christ. And they were still so new to the directions of Jesus that they had a hard time following his ways, his habits, his speech. Then they said to him, how can you do that? They just wanted to kill you up there. And now you're going to go there again? They said, come, let's go with him. Let's all die. It's almost like this. This is a close case. There's no way we'll come out of this alive. But Jesus, he said something remarkable. And he said, let me go back to John 11. I still have my Bible here. On the Psalms 139. Okay, here. And then, in verse 7, I want to end or close this, fulfill it. Then after this, he said to the disciples, because now they have already said, it's dangerous to go up there. You gotta get yourself killed by going there now. And Jesus is responding in a remarkable way. He says there in verse 9. I'll go to verse 9. Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If a man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he sees the light of this world. What is Jesus actually talking about? He is talking in a metaphoric way. He wants to teach the disciples something that they could use in days to come. But they didn't know what it was at this very specific hour. Jesus did not tell them everything. I know that the Lord spoke in Mark chapter 4, verse 11, and he said, to you it is given to understand the secrets of the kingdom of God. But it took time to learn it. Hey, Jesus was a good teacher, but he kept something behind. He didn't tell everything openly and plainly, because he did not want them too eager, too positive. Oh, we can do it, right? No, he wanted them to have the same spirit and ability to wait on God as he had himself. Right? So when he says, are there not 12 hours? Jesus is not talking about the sunshine. Here in Lusaka, you have 12 hours sunshine and you have 12 hours night. Easy to understand. But Jesus is not talking about that. He was saying that daylight was actually the Father speaking to him and give him information that would enlighten the situation.
Amen.
Why does he say 12 hours? Well, that's easy. Because he wanted them to see that daylight normally is a place where you can walk and don't worry about rocks and stones to stumble. And if you're going to serve the Lord as a believer, then you need broad daylight in your spiritual walk. Because if you only say to yourself, let's take this by faith, let's go do this, right? Then if things don't work the way you hoped for, you will stumble. Remember the disciples? One time they tried to cast out an evil spirit of a young boy. And they wasn't able to. And Jesus came by. And the Father said, even your disciples tried, but they couldn't. And Jesus looks and he said, where is your faith? Well, maybe it was a little complaint. Because what Jesus said there, where is your faith? You haven't heard from the Father. And you're trying to do this on your own. No one can heal on their own. That's not the way it works. If you're going to be a solemn believer that will have respect, of course, Jesus, everything he did, should have had its respect. But even that was a big problem. They couldn't believe him to be the one he said he was. And he did not make a nuisance of himself. So when it was so hard for people to make them recognize his mission, then what about the disciples that hadn't heard anything? So that tells me, brothers and sisters, you have to hear from him first. And that is what Jesus said. Because he says here in verse 10, but if a man walk in the night, what does that mean? Hey, I tell it simply. If a man try to do the will of God, without having his instructions, you'll never do the will of God. You're only going to do your own will. You're going to prove to the people, I got power. I got faith, right? So the people will come and say, oh, we got a brother here. He can do it. And your chest blows up and, yes, I can do it. Liar. They can't. When the master said, I can do nothing unless my Father shows it. That is an instrument of a true believer. The rest is fantasy. The rest is fake. Oh yeah, we do. But I've seen some of them and they can make things happen. Hey. The devil sometimes makes things happen. And the Lord said, if a prophet prophesies and things happen, but he also tells them to do things unscripturally, then that prophet is just a test to see if you really want to believe your master. Right? So you have to be awake. You have to be alert. You have to try the spirits so you don't end up in a conflict with the Lord. Very important. If a man walk in the night, he stumbleth because the light is not in him. How can a light be in you? Right? None of us have a natural light inside. And it doesn't help. Because you need your eyes to see. But what the Lord is saying, the light in you is the understanding of the will of God by revelation. If you're going to have light in you, then you have to say like Jesus, come, let's go to Bethany. And the disciples did not have the light in them. And they said, brothers, come, let's go and die with him. Because they couldn't see that the work that Jesus was about to do would have that effect. So they thought, we're going up there to die now. The light was not inside there. But Jesus, he was walking in broad daylight. He waited 2 more days, and on the 4th day, he comes walking into Bethany, and the 2 sisters, they were crying and sobbing and said, Lord, you're too late. And Jesus said, well, Lazarus is going to rise. And they said, yeah, on the day of judgment, on the last day. Hey, they knew the scriptures, but they didn't have the light that Jesus had. Amen. And he said to them, well, I am the light. I am the resurrection and life. And he said, where did you put him? And he said, oh, he's already in the buried. And he smells. It's 4 days ago. Jesus said, didn't I tell you? And they went up there, rolled the stone away. And he stood there and he didn't even go inside. He just stood there and said, Lazarus, come forth. And the power of the Lord woke that man up. And he came out bound up like a corpse for burial. And the whole gang was in shock. The disciples, they were in shock, rejoicing. The Pharisees and the scribes said, no, we can't accept that. And they rushed to Jerusalem to give a report that that man is dangerous. People are dead 4 days and they come out alive. How can that be? Well, we could have said, well, it's the Messiah. But they couldn't take it. They said, we need to kill him. And Lazarus as well. Let's kill him. Let's get that story over. Brothers and sisters, do we understand anything about walking in daylight? Walking while it is day. That means walk under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hey, you may meet many sick people. You may meet people that are almost dead. Don't try to work on them. Don't use it as an experiment. You will shame the gospel and you will shame yourself. Wait on the Spirit of the Lord. When it comes a clear message from above, hey, that's why it takes a little time to become a disciple of Jesus Christ that can be trusted. Right? Because some people, when they're young, excited, and they will want to rush to conclusion, we can do this. No, be wise. Wait on the Lord. Make sure he spoke to you, And then you act. Because then it will never fail. Do you understand me tonight? This is only one example. And you can put that example into everything that Jesus did in the 3.5 years he ministered the gospel. He waited on the Spirit of God. Is this sickness? Why is it? Did the man sin? Did his parents sin? And Jesus said, no. This is to glorify God. Sickness doesn't actually glorify God. But the Lord, remember, Psalm 139. People can be born with defenses. They can be born with sickness. They can be, I remember a brother in the States. I loved him dearly. His name was Brother Blake. Ernest Blake. And he found a girl in California. And they got married. She came to church and fed his family. And they got married. Very happy. If you ever heard the name Brother Ingman, that was Brother Ingman's daughter. He only had one. No, he had more than one daughter. But that daughter got married to Ernest Blake. They got a son. And I said it myself. That brother, he has such a powerful and wonderful message that he can be mightily used by God, traveling, ministering the word. They got a son with cerebral palsy. Right? You know what that is? Dysfunctional. No way to walk. No language. All his body worthless. And the brother had to keep and care for him all that son's life. He is in his 40s now. And Brother Blake is already gone to be with the Lord. His job was to take care of his son. Hey, he preached the gospel, but he could never travel like I thought. Hey, we have some ideas in our mind, you know. He's going to be used. That's going to be a powerful one. And here, he ends up caring for a son with cerebral palsy. But how do you think that's going to look in heaven? When God's going to summary up the work that you've done on earth? I tell you, you stay true to your calling. Amen. Stay true to the work that is set before your eyes. Don't say, I don't need to do that. I'm going to preach the gospel. Let that guy live his own life. Hey, some of them with cerebral palsy, they just put in hospitals and they live and die there. Some parents don't even visit them because they're a burden. But Brother Blake, he took it seriously. He's my son. I'll do my very best for him. Hey, I believe he did a great job. Yeah. Now it's only the wife left. She's alone with that little son. And she is fighting her battle to overcome the problems and the obstacles because of the sickness of her son. Hey, you need to fill in some of the colors in life so you know what you're dealing with. Right? Don't push aside the obligations set before you. Try to do them the best way you know to, so that you can live in daylight. Listening to the Lord Almighty, helping you to fulfill the purpose of your life. The Lord's coming soon. He never told the date, the month, the hour, But he will be there on time because he's an on-time God. So I'll just finish this with this little song. He's an on-time God. Yes, he is. Oh, yes, he is. He's an on-time God. Oh, yes, he is. Oh, yes, he is. He may not come when you want him, but he will be there right on time. He's an on-time God. Oh, yes, he is. Oh, yes, he is. There were the children of Israel trapped by the Red Sea, by that mean old Pharaoh and his army. They had water all around them and Pharaoh on their back. But out of nowhere, God stepped in and made a highway just like that. For he's an on-time God. Oh, yes, he is. Oh, yes, he is. He's an on-time God. Oh, yes, he is. Oh, yes, he is. He may not come when you want it, but he will be there right on time. He's an on-time God. Oh, yes, he is. Oh, yes, he is. And you can ask the 5,000 hungry souls were fed by the banks of the river with 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. What a miracle he performed for the multitude. What he did way back then, he'll do the same for me and you. It's an on-time God. Oh, yes, he is. Oh, yes, he is. It's an on-time God. Oh, yes, he is. Oh, yes, he is. He may not come when you want him, but he will be there right on time. He's an on-time God. Oh, yes, he is. Oh, yes, he is. Amen. Hey, if you can believe what we said tonight, you have something great coming. God just wants you to wait on him till he speaks. And then when he speaks, he'll turn things around. And you will be a vessel God can be proud of. God bless you. Amen.